Oh, good morning, everybody. The scripture reading is Luke chapter 23. We're going to start in verse 32 and 33, then go down to read 39 through 46. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Drop down to verse 39. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost.
Well, good morning, everybody. And as I always like to say, what a joy it is to be in God's house, to read and study and grow in his word. The title of the message I'd like to share with you, I've entitled The Two Thieves. And as David read in our opening scripture, here was Christ who was being crucified for our sins as it was his calling. That's what he was sent here to do. But yet he had one man on the right and one on the left. And they both cried out to him. One of them was very selfish. One of them was humbled. He answered one, and he did not even answer the other one. And what I'd like to look at today is I'm going to go through some very, very familiar readings, very familiar scriptures. And I just want to point out that not everybody who cries out to God is answered. Just as our Heavenly Father and his Son, our Savior Jesus, there are reasons why he will answer and reasons why he will ignore you. We've read many times in the Bible, and the anger of the Lord was kindled hot against Israel. And we've read stories where he said, well, what I was going to do to them, I'm going to let them do it to you, or I'm going to do it to you. Because our God loves obedience. He loves his children to obey him. He loves to discipline them. As we read in Revelation, God only chastises those he loves. And I've met people over the years, and I'm sure you have too, where they act like there's nothing ever wrong with them. And they say, well, maybe they're not even in the family. Because God does not correct people who are not in family. I don't correct any other children but Laura and David. Now, if they're in my house, that's a different thing. But what I want to look at today is why was one thief accepted, one was rejected. One was told that you will be with me. And the other one, he didn't even know him. He ignored him. He didn't even answer him. Now, granted, I don't know the identity of that man. Maybe he wasn't even a candidate for salvation. I really don't know that. I haven't researched. I haven't dug that deep into it. But for whatever reason, here was a guy who cried out, and he was ignored. And the one was given salvation, and the other one was rejected. And I want to find out why. So for our first reading, if you would, turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, I want to start reading in verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now there's a very simple, simplistic scripture reading as to when people supposedly get saved or they change, well, what do? You don't stand still. You don't just go up, I got saved, and then that's it, I'm in. And they have a very casual, we're told to walk worthy. We're supposed to increase in the knowledge of God. We're supposed to study. I think even the Bible tells us, people read the scriptures daily. You need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I hear it all the time. Well, I just do what my pastor tells me. He, she, or it, whoever it may be. And they say, well, if he's wrong or she's wrong or it's wrong, it won't be my fault, it'll be their fault. That's not true. That's simply not true. It is important which God you serve. It is important to increase in the knowledge, and you're supposed to be fruitful in every good work. It's not every good play. It's not every good pleasure. It's not every what I want to do. I hear it all the time. Well, I know God wants me happy. No, he doesn't. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God wants it. Holy means sacred or separate. If you have this attitude and this arrogance, well, I know God wants me happy, then God's not God, you are. There's no submission in that. I decide what's happy. I decide what makes me happy. I decide what I like. I decide what I want to do. Me, me, me. Now, this first thief, hey, yeah, Jesus, come on, man. If you're who you say, I heard about you. Come on, save me and save yourself. Get me out of this situation I'm in. The other thief said, who do you think you know who you're talking to? We deserve this. Here's a humility. This guy was humbled himself. Don't you understand we are thieves? Now, when I was a little boy, I stole cookies when mom was in the other room. But I'm not a thief. We know Moses killed an Egyptian, but he wasn't a murderer. We know David had a sin with Bathsheba, but he wasn't a fornicator, an adulterer all the time. Just because you commit some one sin one time, that doesn't mean that's who you are. We all sin. We're going to read that. Back to verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's why Christ died. He had a calling. We even read in the story that this cup that my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? When Peter said, no, he tried to cut the guy's ear off. No, he said, well, put that away. You don't understand. They wanted to put the kingdom before the cross. You can't have the kingdom if I don't. I have to do what my Father sent me to do. And in each time, like we're drinking a cup, we lost Tom Dooley. Walt is drinking a cup of sadness over Maggie, his wife. There are certain times in your life you will drink a cup that is not pleasant, but we must power through it. We must go through it, and we must show that we are worthy of his pleasure, that we are worthy of him. Not that we earn it. You cannot earn your salvation. That's impossible. No matter how righteous you think you are, or whoever you think is the most righteous person you can think of, that person is a filthy rag next to a holy God. That's why we can't make it on our own. And this guy cried out. He said, remember me. He did not ask him to halt his execution. I deserve this. I deserve it. He was thinking of the kingdom. He wasn't the other guy wanted. I want my salvation today. He says, no, I want eternity. No matter how old you are, your life is a blink, a blur compared to eternity. That's why the good thief, he said, hey, I know what I'm sorry, but there's something more than this. I deserve to hang on this cross. This man has done nothing wrong. That's what saved him. That's what saved him. The humility, not the arrogance. If you will, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Therefore, if any man or Adam be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I'm going to admit to you, I'm going to be a little bit nitpicky on this one. Because I've heard people say, well, I've been a Christian all my life. I've gone to church all my life. I've grown up in church. I've always been a Christian. I don't think so. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I think you have to bury the old person that you are. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, here it is, him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made in the righteousness of God in him. I've always said I never understood when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, when Christ took our sin, that separated him from the Father, like Adam's sin separated him from his Creator God. He was made in the image of likeness. He was not supposed to die. But sin entered into his life, and that separated. He tried to hide and talk about being humiliated. Hey, Adam, where are you? He knew where he was. It's like your kids. Did you spill? I know they did it. I just want them to admit that they did. He knew where they were. He knew what they did. Because every time you pray to God, you're not giving him any information. When you pray to God, wow, I didn't see that one coming. You're not informing him of anything. He already knows. Why do we pray then? Obedience. Well, if he knows what I want, just give it to him. See the selfishness. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want, I want, I want. He asked us, pray without ceasing. Pray daily. Why? In obedience. We're talking to our Father. That's what he wants us to do. Well, if he knows what I want, why don't he just give it to me? You see the selfishness. There's no humility in that. But you have to bury the old person. And again, like I say, I think I am being a little nitpicky, but this, well, I've always been. No, you haven't. You're not the new creature. You have to bury that old person. You have to understand that you're not who you were. You're new. And it doesn't matter how old you were when this happens. That's when your life starts. That's when you become understand. That's how you grow. And you want to grow, you want to learn, you have a zeal, you have a passion for his knowledge and his wisdom. To explain that, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. This is going to be my favorite reading today. If you only take away one, this is the one I want you to take away. Romans, chapter 8, verse 1, beginning in verse 1. Here, this should make you smile. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, the Savior, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. it's not the do's and don'ts. Yeah, that's part of it. Because when you love your father, when you love your mother and father, you want to please them. And it makes our God happy when we please him in obedience to his word. But it's not the do, don't, yes, they're important, but you will not be saved. Well, I don't do this. Well, good for you. Well, I don't drink and smoke. Well, good for you. You'll be the healthiest one in hell when you get there. I've never stolen nothing. What, do you want a badge? You're not supposed to steal. That's no big deal. Well, I've never told a lie. Yes, you have. You just did 5 seconds ago by saying you never lied. If you say you have no sin, the truth is not in us, and we lie to ourselves. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of the righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Who raised Jesus from the dead? Did Jesus raise himself? No. Who raised him? If that Jesus is... that if the power that raised him and he's in you and you in him in like manner, you will be raised after your death. It's the same power. Lazarus, come forth. Now, Jesus said the words, but Jesus didn't bring him back. He asked the Father. The power is in, he was the vehicle. That's why when we pray, we don't pray to Jesus in God's name. We pray to God in Jesus' name. Now, I can't explain this. I'm not smart enough to understand the Godhead, the Father, Son, Holy. I know it's real, but I can't explain it. I believe it, but I cannot explain it. I know they're three in one. I don't understand it. And I'm being honest with you. I can't explain it. I believe it, but I can't explain it. Just like God always was. I can't explain it. People who believe in the Big Bang Theory. I've got one question for you. And I'm very simple-minded. The energy that caused the Big Bang, where did that energy come from? And they say, well, it was always there. Wait, so you believe in something that was always there, just like me? And you're telling me I'm wrong? What ignited the Big Bang that formed the universe? Where did that power come from? Well, it was always there. But where did it start? I'm going around in circles. See, they got to have faith just like we do. You know, the evolutionist. I've always wanted to say, ask people, and this, I'm rambling, but can a squirrel evolve into a deer? Can an animal evolve into another animal? Then evolution's fake. Period. They say, well, we all came from the water. Well, I'm not smart, but in order to breathe through water, you got to have gills, right? You take in the water, the gills take the oxygen, take a fish out of the water, lay it on the ground, it dies. Put me underwater, I'll die. How did something go from gills to lungs just like that? And walked out of the water, and now he's, I've got lungs, I can breathe air. Well, it just happened. See, that takes, I think that takes more faith than what we believe. But evolution, an alligator was an alligator. It might have a different form. It might have a different, it may be in size, but it doesn't, an alligator won't convert and evolve into a bass or a catfish. Or any, it just doesn't happen. Anyway, so the thing I want to get at you is that, listen, we are all, when you die, you will die a sinner. You're going to die a sinner. You can't stop it. But there's no condemnation to those who are in, when the thief died, he died a thief, but that did not unsave him because Christ was in him. That's how important he is to you. You're not, God remembers that we're flesh. We all have struggles. Everybody struggles with some form of sin in their life. It can be whatever this world has to offer, possessions, money, wealth, sex, pornography, sports, golf. Ooh, that one hurt a little, okay? That one hurt just a little bit. But we all have these things that we have to overcome, and it's him in us. But we have to confess that there are things that God wants us to do, and there are things that he doesn't want us to do. That's how we grow. That's how we grow. Turn to the book of John, chapter 5. But there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. John, chapter 5, I want to begin verse 39. This is a biggie. Search the scriptures, for in them... Here it comes. You think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, Jesus is speaking. This is in red. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receiveth honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Question. Do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So the Old Testament is not done away with, as some churches teach. Jesus just brought up Moses. Moses talked of me. If you don't believe Moses' writings, then and we know we believe that he wrote the first five books of the Bible. If you don't believe Moses, you don't even know who I am. Because he spoke of me. Well, that was done away with. No, it wasn't. Timothy, all scripture is given. All scripture is given for instructions and well-being. We all know that. So how can you do away with 85% of the Bible when the Bible in and of itself says that all scripture is giving for inspiration, for how to live your life? But he said, search the scriptures, for them you think you have eternal life, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Now, I'm going to give you four examples, and I'm going to borrow this from the folks from Answers in Genesis, who you guys well know. Now, I'm going to give you four choices, and when I come to the choice that you want, I want you to raise your hand. And there's only four. I thought this through. We had some downtime Thursday. First choice, universal God, universal Jesus. Second choice, covenant God, universal Jesus. No. Universal God, covenant Jesus. You guys are stubborn. Last choice, covenant God, covenant Jesus. There you go. Remember the parable of the sower? There's four examples in that story. Three of them fall short. Now, me personally, this is my opinion, I think the most popular teaching today is the covenant God and the universal Jesus. Well, see, the God of the old was mean, grouchy, killed, and then Jesus showed up and changed everything. and Jesus took over. I've even heard say, well, like Noah's flood. Well, our Jesus would have never done what God did in Noah's flood. Well, that's just mean. You don't know, read Matthew 24. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when I come back. And he ain't coming back as a shepherd carrying a lamb with a stick. He's not mild. He's not coming back as Clark Kent. Christ is coming back as Superman, and he is going to raise hell on earth when he comes back. Period. Because you've got two choices. When you meet Christ, you're either going to meet him as Savior or Judge. That's it. Those are your two choices, Savior or Judge, like we just read. Search the Scriptures for them you think you have, and they testify. Everybody knows the story of Jesus. Which one? Which one? He warns us, don't fall for the other Jesus, the other gospel, the other spirit, the other preaching. It's not a good thing. To give you an example of that, turn to the book of Revelation chapter 22. I want to spend a little time. I want to maybe show something. Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 12. Jesus is speaking. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. Blessed are they who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So that's who he is. Okay, now what did he say? Your reward is with me. If you're a Christian and you're a follower of Christ, when you meet him, your reward is to spend eternity in his presence. I'm your reward. Where I am, you shall be also. I go to prepare a place for you. If it weren't, I hear it at every funeral. I go to prepare a place for you. And your reward is with me. Now, some rewards will be more than others. I think there is a judgment that will come, and then there's a rewarded judgment. In my simple mind, if you do a lot of good things and you enter into the kingdom, I think your mansion will be close to a golf course and an ice cream shop. That would be a good reward to live two blocks away, because there will be golf and ice cream in the kingdom. It wouldn't be heaven if it weren't so. So that could be maybe I might live on the course. Who knows? But he said, your reward is with me. I'm your reward. If you come to me, I'm your reward. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Very familiar. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inward are ravenly wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil tree. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Here it comes. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works? And I will profess unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Okay, here's the man who has the reward is Christ. Your reward is with me. I'm the one who hands out rewards. If Christ says, depart from me, I never knew you, where's your reward? Because your reward is with me where I am. And he says, yeah, I don't even know. Well, who are these people that he doesn't know? He didn't know that one thief. He knew one. One on each side. They both called out. He answered one. He ignored the other one. He might as well have said, "Who? I don't even know who you are. Depart from me." And if you depart from Christ, where do you go? To see that again, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 13. Kind of the same thing. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 23. Then said one of unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Jesus is speaking, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say to you, I know not who you are. Then shall he begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, which I think communion, and have taught in thy streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. And they shall come from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last shall be first, and there that which first shall be last. If you're thrust out, where do you go? Where do you go if you're thrust out? And how can the one who gives out the rewards, can you collect a reward from the one who says, get away from me, I don't know you? So they have no reward. None. Zero. Zilch. Nothing. But I went to church. I took communion. We cast out demons. I prophesied in your name. You know, everybody knows Romans, whosoever call upon the Lord shall be saved. Not really. Which Lord? Remember those four choices I gave you? Three of them don't work. Only one works. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Well, that's pretty narrow-minded. Yes, it is. Straight gate, wide gate. Narrow, wide. You have to be narrow-minded to stay on the narrow road and not compromise to the right, to the left. No, stay in the middle. Because if you drift, dog, get back here. Where are you going? And he might spank you, take you out to the woodshed. I know I've gotten it many, many times. Because he loves. He's my father. Parents correct their children when needed. Because he loves them. But if you run away, prodigal son, good dad, I can't wait for you to die. I want a party. Give me my money now. I don't understand. The father gave it to him. You all know the story. Now, this one came back and wept and cried. I'm not worried. Yes, you are. Put a ring on it. You know the story. And the father ran after him. My son, who was dead, is now alive. The only one who was mad was the good son. And he didn't understand. He didn't understand what was going on. He said, don't you realize your brother who was dead? Well, he wasn't dead. He was out partying. But who was he dead to? The world or God? Love not the world nor the things of the world. Why? Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Now, yeah, you can have a house, a car. There's nothing wrong with having things, enjoying life. It's just who's in first place in your life. Because God can't stand second place. He won't tolerate it. He will not tolerate second place in your life. To give an example of that, if you will, I'm going to go back to a story. Turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. I want to go over a story. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to do bits and pieces of it. This is the sin of Korah. And we're going to, you could read the whole, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to start in Numbers 16. I want to read, start in verse 2. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. So these are not just commoners, these are men, important men. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, even one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore ye then lift ye up yourself above the congregation of the Lord?" And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Drop down to verse 8. And Moses said unto Korah, "Hear, I pray ye, ye sons of Levi, seeming it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of God, of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister under them." Drop down now to verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses, unto Aaron, saying, "Separate yourself from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." Now here's the finish of the story. Go to verse 28. And Moses said, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do these works, and I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quickly into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And when it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and their goods. What happened? And they and all that appeared to them, appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, and said, "Lest the earth swallow us up also." And there came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. So basically, if I dug a 10-foot hole, and I threw you in the hole, you're going to go in the hole alive. But when I cover you in dirt, how long are you going to stay alive? Not very long. These arrogant guys were they challenged Moses. If you've seen the movie, it was Edwin G. Robinson. "You take too much upon yourself." He played that. Now in the movie, when Charlton Heston threw the Ten Commandments at the golden calf, okay, those people were slain by the sword. This earth opening up, this was Korah. This was later. It's a separate thing. It's a different story and all that. But here, this earth swallowed them up and they died. They're dead because they provoked the Lord to anger. And Moses said, "Listen, hey, God called me." They were envious and jealous of his calling. They wouldn't submit to, let's say, the pastor of this congregation. They will not submit. "Who do you think you are? Hey, I know as much as you do." See, the arrogance is what killed them. You don't understand. I called him. You don't decide to be a pastor. You called. Every person who has a gift in this congregation, some of them are speaking, some of them are playing the piano, organized. Everything that you do your gift to your best ability, but not everybody has the same gift. And these men wanted more than what they were called to do, and it provoked God, and he killed them. Now, to show you that, please turn to Psalms 88. And I'm going to read this psalm, and I want you to just let me know if you get to there on my Bible, it said a song of psalms for the sons of Korah to the chief musician. Now, I'm just going to read this through, and I want you to tell me if these people are in a good place or a bad place. Verse 1, "O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave, or the pit. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more. And they are cut off from thy hand. Hey, I don't remember. Who are you? Depart from me. I never knew you. Sound familiar? You think God and Jesus are in harmony? Verse 6, thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy ways. Selah. Verse 8, thou hast put mine acquaintances far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eyes mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee, Selah? Shall they loving kindness be declared in the grave? Or they faithfulness in destruction? Here shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. Prodigal son. I want to party. I don't want to go to church no more. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to hang out. I don't want to be at church. There's no fun in righteousness. I want to party. While I suffer my terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. Thy compassion compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintances unto darkness. Is this a good place? Are these people in a good place? Are they with Christ? Is Christ their reward? It doesn't sound like a good place to me. I wouldn't want to go here. Turn with me now to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. Matthew, chapter 10, I want to read verse 28. Jesus is speaking. Now, does this fit in? And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Don't be afraid, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Three men in a fiery furnace. Hey, you can turn it up. Throw us in there. We know that our God can save us. And if he does, great. If he doesn't, that's fine too. Were they afraid of killing the body, or did they fear the one who can kill both body and soul? Because your body's going to die. Flesh and bone cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The resurrected one, but not this fallen one. So what do you fear more? Well, if you don't do what we tell you, we're going to kill you. Go ahead. I don't want that, but I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to. Well, if you don't get your vaccine, you're going to be, I'm not getting it. Well, then you can't work. Okay, I'll retire. Well, then I don't know how this is going to play out. This is just a little thing compared to what the three men in the fiery furnace, they saw it. Daniel in the lion's den. The Pharaoh said, hey, Daniel, did your God save you? Yeah. Come on in. What do you fear? You should fear the one who can kill both body and soul. Drop down to verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me, Jesus is speaking, me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Here it comes. Here comes the price. Think not that I am come to send peace. I send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. This is why I'm coming here, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be of thine own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. What's that all about? Well, I would come to church with you, Brian, but if I do, my wife will get mad. Good. Well, she'll leave me. Even better. Well, I would come to you, but my husband, we would come there and we would bring our kids, but see, we can't bring our kids to the fellowship of God's covenant people anymore because you guys don't have a softball team. You probably don't even provide beer after the game, I bet, do you? I had a guy tell me that. He joined the softball team at Our Lady of Good Hope in Fort Wayne, Indiana, because they had a softball team and they drank beer after the game, and he wanted me to join because I used to be a good softball player. I was a heck of a third baseman. Come on, Jonesy, let's go play. I don't want. Yeah, you get beer after. I don't drink beer. But he joined that church to play softball and drink beer. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a beer, a glass. It's a lot better than that Dr. Pepper I drink thousands of gallons of. A lot better. That's just a can of chemicals. It tastes good. But I'm just saying, that's why he joined a church to play softball. I'm like, wow. But this thing about if you love anybody more than me, again, I will not tolerate second place. These are the people, my worst foes are my brothers and sisters and my mom and dad when I became a covenant believer. When I chose the covenant God and covenant Jesus, I lost family members, friends. That's the price. Okay, but Jesus says, if you deny me, I'm looking at eternity. I'm not looking at this, what I can get right now. It did not make me very popular. To show you that, turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here's one that a lot of people don't like. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, or the Savior Jesus. One. Well, Brian, all roads lead to God. Even the compromiser, Billy Graham, well, we have our way to God, and the Muslim, and even the atheists have their way to God. I mean, there's one. Jesus said, I don't know who you can't come to the Father except through me. Well, see, Brian, you're so narrow-minded. Thank you. The goddess Oprah doesn't believe this. She doesn't believe it. She thinks, oh, Jesus is one way, but there's other ways. No, there's not. There's only one. And to show you how scary this is, there's a guy I listen to on the radio. If I get off at 6, if I only work 8 hours, that's on bot radio. His name is Jack Hibbs. And he wears a ring that I guess has some decorations on it. It's in Hebrew. And people say, wow, that's a heck of a ring. What is it? Oh, it's a Hebrew ring. Oh, are you Jewish? No, but my Savior is. That's why he has a wedding ring. I don't know where he wears it, but he's proud of it. He's proud that his Savior's Jewish. And he wears that ring because it starts a testimony. It gives me a chance to relive the people. Is it the right one? Does it matter? Well, my Savior's Jewish, the Jewish people. They're God's people. I'm just a Gentile. I'm just saved by grace. Lucky for me, the Jews denied. He went to his own. If it wasn't for that, well, what if they would have accepted him? What would the Gentiles done if they would have accepted him? That's another story. But that's what he wears to get that attention. But there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, a couple more. Very familiar. This is dangerous. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. See if this sounds familiar. With Korah, and I want you to think of the United States of America when I read this. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and their scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Question. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught at my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish compound upon you, then shall you cry unto me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearketh unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's the United States. We've rejected our God. We've rejected His Bible. We took the Ten Commandments out of the school. We got to corrupt these kids. Even the Christian kids, they go off to college, they come home for Thanksgiving, and they're not even Christian. Who are you? Parents don't even recognize them. Or they go off and get a job, and they quit everything. Just like that. Why? They weren't grounded. They were not grounded. It's very simplistic. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Even a lot of people quote this. I heard a lot of pastors read this after 9/11, but they didn't understand what they were reading. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So there is hope. You have to turn from your wicked ways. You have to deny yourself. You have to say that I don't want to be this way anymore. You have to be that new creature. There has to have something happen to you to where I don't want to do this no more. And to say, well, that's the Old Testament, Brian. Okay, well, let's go to Romans 1. Get these echoes in my head from growing up in denominational churches. Let's see if it's changed. Romans 1, beginning in verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made unto the corruptible men, to birds, to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This is when, well, God wants me happy. You're worshiping the creature, not the Creator. 24, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Well, God wants me happy. I heard a guy give a great answer. What do you think about gay marriage and lesbian marriage? He says, I'm all for it, as long as a gay man marries a lesbian woman. I thought that was a little clever. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error that was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not covenant. A reprobate mind is a mind void of judgment. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Thank God for kids got rights today to divorce their parents. Yay! You know, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Nothing's changed. This is Romans. This is written after the gospel. This is after the death and resurrection and ascension of Christ to sit us at the right hand of the Father. He's still mad about this stuff. He still gets mad. Well, I think that if two men love each other, I don't think God would hate them. Oh, I don't see nothing wrong with two men. I got a very simple, simplistic answer question for you, and I'm not trying to be smart. But if God approves of men marrying men and women marrying men, and why didn't God provide a way for a man to have sexual relations with a man and produce a child? And why didn't God provide a way for a woman to have sexual relations with another woman and produce a child? If it's of God, and it's what they tell us from the pulpit, churches marrying same-sex people, they're not. I don't see a family in that, do you? It's old, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, but it's so simplistic. Well, things have changed. Yes, unfortunately, you're right. Book of Revelation, chapter 20. I'm just going to read this through. This is towards the end. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he is loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, the judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither has received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000. If there's a first resurrection, there must be another. Let's find out. And when 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea. And they went up unto the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven to devour them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural, were open, and another book, singular, was open, which is the book of life. I think the books are the Bible. I could be wrong. You're either, because if you're not found in the book of life, you're going to be judged by the books of the Bible. And nobody can pass that test without Christ, because as we've read. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. What did we read in Romans? What happened to Korah? And the sea gave up the dead which were in, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they that were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what's coming. That will happen. And I'm not an expert at the book Revelation, and this is foggy for me. I'm not a very good student of this, but I know there's some good and there's some bad. And again, as we read, the two thieves, one was accepted, one was rejected. And I want to close, I want to read one more thing because of our dearly departed brother Tom. And I want to read a hymn. I'm not going to sing it. This is for Tom. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Don't go to your best friend. Don't go to your group. Who do you go to first? Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, please take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? You ever been forsaken by a friend? I have. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find solace there. Loved ones, thank you so much for having me. And to our brother Tom, dearly departed. It was a pleasure to know him, and I can't wait to see him again. Thank you, and may the God of our fathers bless each and every one of you.